بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام. قال تعالى في قرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، خلق الإنسان في أحسن تقويم. قال رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام: من قال لا إله إلا الله دخل الجنة، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله وصدق الرسول، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected ulama ikram, my brothers in Islam, firstly we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for blessing us with iman. We praise Allah jalla majdahu for blessing us with Islam. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for making us Muslims and from the ummah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From this platform, we have been discussing about Hazrat Isa alayhi salam to some extent and detail. Continuing with that, these days what happens, that we have got many Christian missionaries and they even going to Muslim doors. We call them gospel thumpers, Bible thumpers, and they come even to our doors trying to present Islam, trying to present Christianity, and want to try and refute Islam. Now, since we have been discussing about Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, and you got a fairly good idea what is our view about Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, but you should also realize and learn about how we can answer these people who come to your doors. Without getting into any detailed academics, at least you should have a picture of what to do, some idea. Firstly, understand something, that the Bible that they have got in their hands, that's not the original, that's a translated version. And the translated version has come from the Greek version. And the Greek version is not the original also. Because the Greek version supposedly had to come from Isa alayhi salam. And Isa alayhi salam spoke Arabic. So there is no way that they have got what we got, Quran al-Kareem. Someone asked, where's the original? What original with us? There's it here in Arabic. So they got no original Bible. So you have to ask the person, where's your original Bible? Number one. Secondly, that this Bible that they have got in their head has come from a council which they had in Niger. And they decided from all other Bibles that these four they'll accept, discarding even the Gospel of Barnabas. Point two to remember is that the current Bible, which has basically four parts, Mark, Matthew, Luke, John, now these Bibles that they have got, all the compilers, these are compiled versions. And these are so-called biographies of Isa alayhi salam. Four out of four never see Isa alayhi salam. Four out of four. So that means they have put this together by a hearsay. Complete hearsay. And in hearsay, in court, hearsay is no evidence. If you have to go to court and you have to say this is hearsay, this is no evidence. So definitely these people have been listening from other sources and have put it together, and the gap, the age gap, or the time period gap between Isa alayhi salam and the compilation is 300 years. That 300 years, respected elders, that's a long time. To give you an example, I am speaking now. 30 minutes later, when you're having lunch, what you will say, what you heard, that will be very strange. That will be very strange to listen to, because each one of you will be listening and you'll be evaluating, you'll be assessing and you'll be dissecting. So when you talk on the lunch table, what you say, something else will say. And what I will say, you'll say, never close by, unless you play the tape. Because this is proven in a classroom situation, that if you whisper something to one person, and tell the person, say it to the next, say it to the next, after 20 people, when he comes back to you, the story is different. Now this is current. Can you imagine after 300 years? After 300 years, what happens? Some ignorant Muslims, they say, see, this objection which we are making against the Bible holds true for the Hadith also. Because the Hadith, Bukhari, Muslim, Ibn Majah, Tirmidhi, Abu Dawud, Nasai, have been compiled 300 years later. They say that is why it is speculative. The Hadiths are spurious. The Hadith can be questionable. So we reply, no. The difference is of Hadith compilation and biblical compilation is from age to age there is a link. And there is a constructive, concrete, proper link. That's one answer. Second answer is that now we are discovering kitabs which Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in penned themselves. So we're getting now Hadith kitabs with Sahaba, Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Masood radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Their kitabs are focusing now, and scholars are making research. For example, Maulana Professor Muhammad Hamidullah Ramtullah alayhi of Paris, he sourced the work of Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he compiled his hadith kitab, and then he did an academic research counter-referencing it with Bukhari and Muslims and stating, see, it links up. So, third thing, understand about this Bible, that given any one incident of worthy to relate. For example, they say Isa alayhi salam was crucified. Our belief is that he was not crucified. But in their own narrations about the crucifixion of Isa alayhi salam, you'll find in the Bible all of their books have got different narrations. They've got completely different narrations, contradictory, and their narrations do not make sense. Plus, one person is saying something, another person is saying something else. In the books that are compiled by Muslim scholars, and the best book to read, the best book to read to enlighten yourself about Christianity is a book called Izharul Haq. Izharul Haq. It is translated. First it was written in Arabic, then it was brought down into Persian, then it was brought down into Gujarati, then it was brought down into English. And the English, I've seen a copy of it, I've got a copy of it, when it was done in India, old Elizabethan English. Very difficult to understand. So in our terms, poor translation. But now it has been retranslated, and a translation from England. Very good translation. It's called The Truth Revealed. If you want to study Christianity, if you want to become a master in Christianity, you only have to know that book. That is a nail in the coffin for these people. And the late Ahmad Didat, when I spoke to him about 35 years ago, I asked him, which book you use? He said, this book. And he said, only this book. That's how good this book is. It was written by a Molana from India, Molana Kirmani, Rahmatullah Ali, respected elders. There it will show you passages upon passages, how they got in one part of the Bible saying something else and another part of the Bible saying something else. Going further, this Bible that they have got in their hands cannot be the word of Allah, cannot be the word of God. For the simple reason that, see the Quran al-Kareem, whether it is in Arabic or whether it is in translation, you can sit as a family. You can sit as a family and read it, the translation. The husband can read it to the wife. The wife can read to the husband. The husband can read to the family. There'll be no embarrassment. And there'll be no shyness. And the entire family, the daughter-in-law, the son-in-law, the mother-in-law, they can sit and read Quran al-Kareem. No one is going to get upset. Upset in which way? Embarrassment, shyness. Whereas the Bible has got such passages that no father can read to the daughter. No father can read to the daughter because of his photographical nature. There is one society in America, it's called the American Atheistic Society. American Atheistic Society. And I saw this book in the apartheid period when that book was banned in South Africa. We got one book. We have got a copy of it. It's called the X-Rated Bible. The X-Rated Bible. Now, what is written inside there is all those passages of the Bible. And if you read there, I have a few pages, it is absolutely embarrassing. It is absolutely contrary to human modesty. It is contrary to the moral fiber of any society. No father can read it to his daughter. No mother can read to their son that those portions of the Bible. And it promotes nudity, pornography, adultery, homosexuality, lesbianism, and vivid, vivid descriptions of body parts are given there. And not given in a manner to describe, but given in a passionate and lustful manner. Respected elders, in Durban, there is on the stadium, like they call it Chemist Fountain or something, they had one advocate, the Buckus. Now this is in apartheid period. He called the South African Censor Board. The South African Censor Board to that meeting and to that gathering and to that address. And he began to read passages upon passages, these passages which I'm talking about. And he asked the Censor Board, what do you think about this? They said, we have to ban this. We have to ban these passages. So after reading many, many passages to them, and they ask him all the time, then what do you think about this? He said, we have to ban this. Then after that, he said, see, this, all these things come from the Bible. What are you going to do now? So now they were caught in a quandary. How are they going to say ban the Bible? So respected elders, that these passages, maybe someday I write on it and make a list for you, I post it on my website. So if you have one of these fellows coming with the Bible, tell them to open it and read. Especially if they come husband and wife, and if they come man and woman, teens, so tell them to read this thing. Don't never read it, because it's so embarrassing to read. I respect the elders. Going further, the Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is the only Nabi, he is the only Rasul of Allah, who stated clearly that he has come for the entire mankind. Allah Jalla Majdahu sent down 124,000 plus minus Anbiya alayhi salam. Not one of them said, I have come for the entire mankind. Only Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is rahmatul lil alameen. No other Nabi said that I have come for the entire mankind. Even Nabi Isa, according to their Bible, stated clearly that he did not come. There's a book that we have written, and it's called Islam the Only Way. And it's on the website also, alislam.co.za. In the first section I write about this, why accept Islam. It is stated that in the Bible it said that behold a woman from Canaan. Now Canaan is where Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam comes from. Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam original. She came to Hazrat Isa alayhi salam and she said, oh Lord, son of David, my daughter is severely possessed by a demon. What she is saying, the jinnah caught my daughter. Simple words. Then she says, that do something about this. Why? Because you must blow on her. He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep for the house of Israel. And when she insisted to be helped, he answered, it is not fair to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Matthew 15:21, Matthew 7:6. So what do you think? That he's not going to attend to her, because he hasn't come for her. He hasn't come for the people of Canaan, he's only come for the people of Israel. He has come for the children of Israel, and then he goes on to say, how do we take children's bread and give it to the dogs? Another passage he says, do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before swine, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. Then when he told his 12 disciples, when he was talking to his 12 disciples, he told them, see, because he's telling them where to go and where not to go. He's telling them, thou art who you must give, thou art who you mustn't give. So he tells them, these 12, Jesus said to them, charging them, go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So he's telling them, don't go to the Gentiles, don't go to the Samaritans, but go to the lost sheep of Israel. Now, have you ever seen a copy of the Bible? When you see a copy of the Bible on the front cover, you see what they call Jesus Christ, Isa alayhi salam, he's standing, he's got a staff, and he's got sheep. This is what they're talking about here. Only go to the lost sheep of Israel. So he himself is saying that I am not universal in nature. So when the Nabi himself is saying in the Bible he's not universal in nature, why are you coming to you and me? Go to the lost sheep of Israel. My Nabi, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has come for the entire mankind. That is why I follow him. So respect the elders, that the Bible is not practical in nature. It's not giving us a message that is practical. For example, in the whole of the Bible, only two places there is some sort of dua and there is some sort of originality. One place is the taking her by the hand, Isa alayhi salam, taking her by the hand, he says, Taliti Kobi, meaning that, oh child, get up, stand up, oh child. Now, this here, what is the purpose of it? You cannot extract from it, you cannot legislate any law from it, it is a mujmal, it is an unknown statement, you cannot draw anything from it. And the next one is when they say Isa alayhi salam was on the cross. He said, Lima sabahtani, Ilahi ilahi lima sabahtani. Meaning that, oh God, why has thou forsaken me? Now, this is what they say he said. We say he never said this, he never get on the cross. And how can a Nabi say this, we are saying? Because this is blasphemous in nature. How can a Nabi say, when Quran Kareem is saying, La taqnatu min rahmatillah, then do not be despondent of the mercy of Allah. And the Nabi can never ever be despondent of the mercy of Allah. So how can they say Isa alayhi salam said such words? It's not practical. So it is absolutely contrary to reason that these people are saying that Isa alayhi salam made these statements. Now in the Bible, in the entire Bible, you get only two places where there is du'as. One is in your childhood days in apartheid era, they maybe made us read this dua. They said, "Oh Father who art in heaven, give us our daily bread." They were making us read that thing in school. Now that is only one portion where the Bible speaks about dua. And the other one is, they say when Isa al-Islam was on the cross, then he said, "My Father," this is in Matthew 26:39, he says, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me." Again, this is blasphemous in nature. Why? He's talking to Allah Ta'ala, he's saying, and he's on the cross, he's saying, "My Father," talking to Allah Ta'ala, he's saying, "If it is possible." Now, inna Allah ala kulli shayin kabir, Allah Ta'ala has control and power over everything. How can the Nabi say, "If it is possible"? Everything is possible for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this person, they say, the one on the cross is saying, "If it is possible, take this cup away from me. May it take me out of the cross." So respected elders, and you know that the Quran al-Kareem is full of du'as. Ahadith and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, full of du'as. See, the Quran, the Bible speaks about some impractical law. It says that Isa alayhi salam, they attributed to him. We say, never say it. They say that he said, "It is heard that eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you that if someone strikes you on the right, give him the left," so he strikes you on the left also. "If someone takes your coat, then give him your undercoat. And if someone walks you, holds you by the hand, and walks you a mile, walk him too." So what he's saying, that if someone hits you, then you hit you on the right, you give him the left. And if someone takes your coat away, steals your coat, you say, no, take the undercoat also. And if someone holds you by the hand and walks you a mile, say, no, take me for 2 miles. Now, respected elders, this is completely impractical. This is not a practical religion to follow. Why? Hypothetically speaking, if someone runs away with one of your daughters, what you will tell him? Hey, come here, run with the other daughter also. If someone steals from one shop, you tell him, "Phone him up, hello, I got another shop to steal from that shop too." If someone robs you for a million, phone him up, tell him, "Hello, steal another million from me." And if someone beating you up and says, no, I'm not defending, Bible says I must defend, if you're hitting in the front, kick me on the posterior too. What is this? This is completely not practical. Respected elders, then they got another version. They say, "Give it unto Jesus what is Jesus, or give it unto God what is God's, and give it unto Caesar what is Caesar's." Now, respected elders, this definitely cannot be divine. Why? Because this creates secularism. And secularism, respected elders, divides religion and the state. And when you divide religion and the state, that is when chaos starts. Because that means the state does whatever they want to. They legalize homosexuality, they legalize lesbianism, they legalize gender equality marriages, same marriages, they legalize alcohol and drugs, they legalize prostitution and brothels, they legalize the last thing. Why? Because there is no deen attached to it, there is no religion attached to it. And this they prove from the Bible. And those Muslim countries that have separated the state from religion, they are the same path. They are definitely going the same route. And what they do, these Muslim leaders and these Muslim government, so-called Muslim government and so-called Muslim leaders, understand something. Everything that has got an Islamic title is not Muslim in nature. Everyone who is Muslim need not be performing Islamically. That's why you got Islamic schools. How much of Islam is there? Very little. That is there to keep your money flowing. So you keep funding it. Go and look what is happening there. Now these Muslim countries, they run the country like secularism. And what they have ulama, advisory committee. Ulama at the advisory committee. Maybe when we feel like we'll consult with you. And when we consult with you, when we don't agree with you, oh, go fly the kite. We don't interest in you. Respected elders, one more passage, two more passages before I conclude. He's defining now what is iman. If they say if a person has got a mustard grain of iman, then he will say to the mountain, move. From year to year, the mountain will move. Another place they say, if a person has got a mustard grain of iman, of faith, then you too say to the sycamore tree, be uprooted and go to the sea, it will get uprooted and fall there. And they say, if you've got iman, you speak in new tongues, and you'll be able to pick up serpents, and you'll be able to drink poison, it will not hurt you. The respected elders, that is definition of iman. Now if you look at the backdrop, I was talking to one Christian, I said, you agree with these passages, is this the Bible? He said, yeah. I said, according to this, the person who went on the cross, according to you, Jesus Christ, he got no iman. So what do you mean? I said, yeah, they say if a person got iman, he will tell the mountain, oh mountain, get up and move. He said, he couldn't tell the cross to break. Oh, what kind of definition you got? You tell the whole mountain, if you got iman, you tell the whole mountain, lift and move, the whole mountain will move. He said, on the cross, you can't tell the cross break. You can't move the cross. So one person that I went to a dentist surgery, he told me, Mufti Sahib, lucky you came. This Christian priest keep troubling me. I said, okay, let me talk to you. Talking to him, I said, that you agree that there is a verse in the Bible that defines iman and says, if you got iman, then the mountain you will instruct, it will move. He said, yeah. So I took out my shoe, I said, see my shoe, lift it. Lift my shoe, forget the mountain, lift my shoe. He says, no, no. He says, no, you're spoiling my iman. He's telling me, you're spoiling my faith. I said, no, you got it wrong. I'm not spoiling your faith. He said, what do you mean? I said, you see, you got no faith to spoil. How can it be spoiling something? So respected elders, you should understand that we have got the deen, the best deen, the universal deen. And what are we doing to this deen? We should be practicing upon this deen. When we practice upon this deen, mercy of Allah Ta'ala will come. Otherwise, the azab of Allah will come. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.